Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. The black pill is hitting strong these days. Trump is setting himself. He's now talking about Nikki Haley being part of his team. I mean, he's disavowing Project 2025. We're not going to have anything good coming from this presidency. How can you disavow? And Project 2025, there are good reasons to disavow it in the sense that it's associated with Steve Bannon. And Steve Bannon has been a loose cannon and has been someone who's been he's been unclear. He's been hateful and on a path of vengeance that is good, but he's been unclear about what he would do with the federal government. He's been out there in terms of conspiracy theories. So I wouldn't mind if Trump had disavowed Project 2025 for its association with ultimately a very Steve Bannon view of the world and a very anti-China view of the world. Those are things you can criticize. But in terms of firing the federal workforce, Project 2025 is a good idea. And I would like to hear Trump say that he's going to drain the swamp. But we are very far from this. Trump has allied with the swamp, which is why tomorrow I'll be on Modern Day Debate. He contacted me. What's his name? David? James. James has contacted me. And he wanted me to debate Trump-Biden. And I said, I'm sorry, but I won't be able to do Trump this time. I could do neutral or I can do Biden even. But so I'll be debating on the side of Biden against the clown, rapper wannabe, eater of Subway sandwiches that he eats in a single bite. What's the name of this clown from Blaze TV? A retard. I don't know what's happening with my memory today. I'm totally out there. Sorry, guys. I don't even remember his name, and he's not important. He's retarded. But he's been in a recent clip. Alex Stein. That is the name of the guy. So he will be debating pro-Trump, of course, as a representative of jury in Dallas. And I will be taking the side of Biden, not because I like Biden, but because we need to punish Trump for what he's doing here. He is being very, very evasive and including some little smart language at the bottom of the contract with his fan base. And that's not good. It's looking very, very bad. Four sharks attacks reported at South Padre Island in Texas. One woman had a chunk bitten out of her leg. Two men and two females were attacked during the attack. Let's see here the video. The jaws are coming. Alex Jones tried to guess. There was these screens with incomplete words, and there was JWS, and he was like, Jaws? That's how strong Alex Jones is ready to ignore the question. Jaws. Yeah, all of this just to be bathing in seawater And really, you wouldn't have run risk if you had baited in seawater up to your knees. But no, you wanted to go where the sharks are. It's really not worth it. It's really not worth it to bait in the ocean. Too risky. There are poisonous snails. There are fish. There are brain amoebas at this point. People are coming back from the beach with brain amoebas that eat your brain and kill you. And then, if you don't get any of this, there's always the good old shark who will chop your leg. Ah, there we see the shark right there. Two sharks at least. And you can drown, says Dino Rogovic. Really, it's not worth it. You go to the beach, you enjoy the sight of the sea. You dip your, if you want, you can dip your feet. But why would you go? Why would you go at a place where you know coming back from there is like a 1 minute, 2 minute of swimming? So you know that for 1 or 2 minutes, you are victimizable by sharks. Not very smart. Stay home. Keemstar is getting married to Brantley. My new favorite hobby is to look at the woman of people who are richer and more successful than me. And I don't look at them with any sort of lust. I look at them and I'm like, Keemstar doesn't have a girlfriend that's as beautiful as mine. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, these hips are not properly developed. You know, she's a beautiful woman, but looks a little old, has to pull full tension on her neck to look thin. The jeans are very tightly showing a very flat ass. And it's like Keemstar is a multi-millionaire superstar YouTuber. He is a big guy. I can't believe that I got a better looking girlfriend than Keemstar. Now I look at her little Christian cross. Okay, she's a Christian. Maybe she's a very good person and very good wife. But she's probably not as good as my girlfriend. It's at this point, I have to get into the multi-trillionaire and billionaires to find men who get a better looking or equal looking girlfriend to mine. In fact, I've not seen better looking up to now. But to get into the same territory, I have to get into the billionaire class. All these small YouTubers that are still bigger than me, but that are not good enough, they all pull imperfect women. Tyre Odyssey says it's a weird angle, a photo of a photo. I don't know. Look, it's looking bad for Trump's fans because we're not going to get anything from his presidency. Nick Fuentes is leading the charge on Twitter on this theme. He says, I hate to say I told you so, but Trump's disavowal of Project 2025 is the latest and most undeniable proof that the second term will be plagued by the same personal problems as the first. Project 2025 has been attacked by the media because it is actually right-wing and Trump folded. So the leftist media has tried to launch a little hit piece of, oh, Trump is very close to Project 2025. And of course, this is why you never apologize to leftists. It's because they want to force you to disavow. And in doing so, they are messing up the natural processes within the right wing. Like when a leftist calls you an anti-Semite, is it a statement of fact? No. It's a statement. They want you to come back and say, no, I'm not racist and I'm not an anti-Semite. And I have this Jewish friend, and I have this black friend. And therefore, you have subscribed to their mentality. Now, this is exactly what Trump fell for, and it's really sad. Because Trump has now disavowed Project 2025. He says, whoever they are, I wish them good and whatever they want to do. But it's I don't support them, and they have said some things that I highly disagree with. So it is basically a disavowal of a bunch of people who wanted to go hard on the left and to make a true attack against the deep state in firing basically 75% of the federal workforce. Because it's at that point, if you don't fire 75%, you're stuck with a bunch of leftists in power still, even if Trump is there. So the big problem of Trump has always been staffing and personnel. It's because he delegates and he doesn't realize that in his delegation, he's giving power to people who are there to fuck him up, to disrupt his ability to undermine the federal government. Nicholas Fuentes continues. He says, I've been sounding the alarm about Trump's assimilation into the establishment for some time now. People told me, but Project 25, lol. What's the cope now? Face the reality. Trump 24 is controlled by billionaires and will be staffed by the worst personnel imaginable. Absolutely. We are headed toward a Jewish-controlled, Trump presidency. Trump presidency with the deep state. And the thing is, they're going to market everything they do as a reformulation of a deep state. They're going to do some moves. It's all going to look maybe right-wing to an ignorant base. But in reality, what's going to be done is the deep state will be, this will be the greatest victory of the deep state. It will be a solidification under a Trump administration of the very people who have messed up Trump's first presidency. I can't believe that he can't see it. New Guy says, Trump has always been seeking popularity. He craves approval and adulation. Absolutely. We have the problem here of having a New York liberal marketer at the head of the American right wing. Dino Legovich says, well, they still film gay porn in the Senate. Think of the people. Maybe we'll have this right wing victory in 2024. No more gay porn being filmed in the Senate. There will be a separate room for the gay porn studio. Trump disavowed Project 2025 on Truth Social. I know nothing about Project 2025. I have no idea who is behind it. I disagree with some of the things they're saying, and some of the things they're saying are absolutely ridiculous and abysmal. Anything they do, I wish them luck, but I have nothing to do with them. Ah, man, that sucks. Why can't we have something good? And Nick Fuentes shows this video. Project 2025 fired. Nikki Haley hired. Ouch. The last statement we had from Trump was that Nikki Haley was not considered for VP. Now, that's a negative statement. So, again, we're always in the small small letters at the bottom of the contract. Now, she was not considered for VP, but now Trump is informing us that she is considered for other positions in the administration. It is so over, guys.
A big night last night. Nikki Haley making her first public remarks since dropping out of the race. She said that Joe Biden has been a catastrophe, and she said she's voting for you. I'm sure those were welcome remarks for you, but it also left a lot of people wondering, is there room for her on your team, or better yet, your ticket?
Well, I think she's going to be on our team because we have a lot of the same ideas, the same thoughts. I appreciated what she said. You know, we had a nasty campaign. It was pretty nasty. But she's a very capable person, and I'm sure she's going to be on our team in some form. Absolutely.
So we have even Steve Bannon is too much of an extremist for Trump. We may have not a Vivek Ramaswamy. If we don't have Vivek on the vice president, that means there's no hope for a reduction of the federal workforce. Richard Spencer talks of the event as stabilizing and moderating the Republican base. But right now, we don't need to be moderated. We need to design a project that is truly exciting and that is truly changing America. Why do we have to always moderate the right wing and then the left wing can go as hard as they want? He says Trump is a destabilizing and chaotic political figure, but he ironically moderates his supporters' view on central issues. This is most obvious on abortion, where he is uncomfortable with an outright ban. It might be true regarding Ukraine, where he's made conflicting, nebulous, and ridiculous statements, but never promised a withdrawal or directly sided with Russia. It's definitely true with Project 2025, which intends to install thousands of grassroots conservative activists in Washington. Trump activates the base, but then keeps them at bay. Well, that is a problem. That is... You know, this is the most charming way you can phrase it, but activating the base and then keeping them at bay, that is also what you would call a loose cannon. That is also a failure of execution. What Richard Spencer is presenting to us here is nothing else than, oh yeah, well, let's have people dream, but then let's reduce the expectations. And we have even Steve Bannon is trying to make some kind of alliance between the Jews and Trump. Steve Bannon wants Jews to hard weld to Christian nationalists. Not so fast, says The Forward, a Jewish newspaper. Welcome to a movement that embraces Israel and political violence. So Steve Bannon is trying to place himself in this sweet spot. Of, hey, Israelis, you now realize you need political violence. You now realize you need military, American military, and the only people that will truly side with you are the American religious conservatives. They're basically the Christian nationalists who are willing to go to war, who are willing to engage America in foreign wars. The left is becoming more and more allergic to Jewish interests. And so Steve Bannon is trying to make an alliance between the Jews who need political violence. They need, yes, DK Shadow calls it boomerism 2.0. This is what we're being offered. Holy shit. It's like all over again. It never stopped. The gay up never stops. We would spend the next 4 years with Trump and potentially, let's say, another Republican candidate surfing on the victories of Trump, winning 8 more years. We would spend the next 12 years of our life stuck into the paradigm of, oh yeah, well, there's terrorism in Lebanon. Oh, and it just turns out that Israel needs to expand in Lebanon. So we're going to go see Lebanon and attack them for some reason. It's going to be boomerism all over again. And it's the boomer never dies. The boomer from their tomb, they will continue imposing their stupid control over our society. If you weren't blackpilled up to now, you should be now. Donald J. Trump joined me at National Doral, Miami. He's publishing all of his polls on Truth, and he's also publishing this disavowal of, well, my God, at this point, I can't even get to it because he publishes all of these positive polls on Truth. But that's where he published his disavowal of Project 2025. Meanwhile, there's some election news coming out around unstaffed drop boxes and whether there will be fraud being planned for 2024. But at this point, my fear is I don't even know where the fraud would side. If there is fraud in 2024, it might very well be in the favor of Trump. He's so much sided with the system that at this point, I don't know where the fraudsters will even look at. Wisconsin Supreme Court reinstates unstaffed drop boxes ahead of 2024 election. Well, 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 the Wisconsin Supreme Court, with its liberal majority, issued a ruling on Friday that reinstates the use of unstaffed drop boxes ahead of the 2024 election. In a 4-3 decision that reverses their own 2022 prohibition on unmanned drop boxes, the justices agreed with Democrats. So, I mean, it's a reversal of their own decision. I had kind of a surprise to see in 2022 that they were actually cracking down on some of the means of election fraud. But it was just temporary. Now they're back at it, and they're going to be back at it just in time for the federal election. Meanwhile, Lucas Gage is the subject of heavy harassment. Lucas Gage, our friend Lucas Gage, is a man who whose address is known because he was doxxed, and he's being the subject of swatting. It's repetitive swatting every day right now. So the police comes to his home because they receive a call that says, "I'm in distress and I just killed my father," or "I just killed my wife," or "I'm going to kill my wife." And the police comes and they say, "Well, we are forced to come into your house to check that everyone is okay." So they do that every day. And the police is like, "We will come back as any of these calls we receive, we will keep coming back, even if we think it's a joke or a fraud or an attempt to kill you." I mean, it's very dangerous because, you know, at this point you have armed police. They may get nervous. They may misinterpret a move of Lucas Gage, and they could kill him. So swatting is potentially killing someone. Meanwhile, he's also receiving every few hours a delivery of pizzas that he hasn't ordered. So you have people calling at random pizza restaurants and they don't pay. They just say, "Bring me the pizza at the address of Lucas Gage." So here you have one video where a pizza delivery is coming.
"Are you serious? Sir. Sir. Sir, we didn't order any pizza. Ma'am, I'm sorry. We're getting trolled. You're the second person to..."
"I called a number on it, too, and it said they work on McDonald's."
"Yeah, that's not a..." "What's it? Who is the name?"
"You guys want to keep the ticket?"
"Well, who is it?" "Lucas Gage." "So some...
So he's constantly receiving these pizzas, and you know, to the disappointment of the delivery drivers, and it's harassment. Ultimately, it's done with the intent of intimidating him as part of the election. So they always come out, these little rats. They always come out at the moment of elections. That's where they are the most active. It's really too bad that the system hasn't protected itself against this. You could have an intelligent police that finds these people through electronic tracking and that sort of stuff, or at least ignores the calls when they are obviously pranks. You could have a system of pizza delivery where people pay by phone by giving their credit card. But we don't have this, and so it becomes the state is being used as a sword to intimidate, and that is very worrying. New guy says the system is designed to keep the little people down. Yeah, it's really sad. It's sad that you can use the police to intimidate someone. Other people that are getting around Trump and siding with his dismissal of Project 2025, Chris Lacivita. So Nicolas Fuentes was answering on his Twitter, "You are a clown, so I'm addressing this to anyone who views your post. Guys like Chris Lacivita, who basically hate Trump and everything his movement stands for are now in control of his campaign and are purging it of the loyalists who have been there since 2015-2016. So here you have some of the past likes of Chris Lacivita, a message that was saying, I can't really wrap my head around the fact people who violently breached the building and trashed it were allowed to just leave the Capitol. You can disagree with Mitch McConnell. You can think the sentiments of this speech were given too late, but it was still an important speech to give on this day, and I'm glad he gave it. Twitter locked Donald Trump for 12 hours. Now the cabinet needs to lock him down for the next 14 days. Those are likes of someone who is now within the surrounding of Trump, of someone who is now a strategist counseling Trump. So these people are not loyalists. Trump is selling out his campaign to a bunch of foreign interests who are absolutely not in line with even the initial spirit of the Trump movement, but not even with the current spirit of the right-wing movement and its demands that 75% of the federal workforce be fired. That's why I am extremely black-pilled, and I don't think we can get anything from the election. I'll be debating Alex Stein on this tomorrow on Modern Day Debate. What's the time on Modern Day Debate? Modern Day Debate, let's see. 8 p.m. Eastern Time. So there won't be a regular show tomorrow. I'll be going straight to Modern Day Debate. A Russian blows up a house with Ukrainian troops inside, survived with concussion. Look at this. He drops what appears to be maybe a mine or maybe a end-activated mine or explosive of some kind. And look at how quickly it blows up. So he's got this manually activated thing here. So he has survived apparently the explosion with injuries, but... You got 1 second to run out. Yeah, I hate it when they add this music to documentary stuff. It's like, if you don't have sound, just don't put sound. That's it. Andrew Torba says, Lucas is being terrorized 24/7 by Jews and his family is in harm's way. His position is entirely justified and wise. Seth Dillon was trying to make some kind of snarky comment against Lucas Gage, saying it's not anti-Semitism. They're just noticing things and taking corrective action. But let me tell you, what Lucas Gage says here makes absolute sense just from a self-interest perspective. Because I've noticed in my life, every time I encounter a Jew in my life, it's for attacking me legally, harassing me, it's for arguing with me in dishonest ways, it's for displaying their cognitive dissonance to me and feeling entitled to something from me, or for an attack on my family. That is literally the circumstances in which I encounter Jews in my life. When I encounter a Christian, they want to trade beef with me. They want to do some exchanges. They want to make my life better. They want to invite me to their church. There is a massive difference between my encounter with the average Jew and my encounter with the average Christian. Like, if I am to just reduce this to gains, I have everything to lose every time I meet a Jew, and I have so much to gain every time I meet a Christian. And every time I meet a Christian, it turns out in a positive, and sometimes it's not a big interaction, but I know it's going to be at least neutral and most likely positive. I know I'm going to get something good, at least a collaborative neighbor or something, like just someone happy. And yet when I encounter a Jew, it's always there's problems coming out. Problems. And so Lucas Gage, I think, makes total sense. He says, I'm removing all Jews from my life. I don't give a shit if they're innocent or not anymore. Their silence is violence. No more Jewish doctors or Jewish friends. I can't risk it. If I want Jews out of power, then I first must remove them from my life and lead by example. You know, you don't even need to be racist. If you just follow your cost and benefit analysis, as DK Shadow calls it, you're pretty much going to end up like this. Like, if you are not self-punitive to the extent of wanting repeated interaction with people who hate you, you're going to end up pretty much Jew-less. You're going to live a life without Jews very, very quick. Stephen Robinson says, I am the Jewish Christian who invites you to the Yellow Deli Worldwide 12 Tribes. Well, Stephen Robinson, I don't quite count you as a Jew because you call yourself a Jewish Christian, but it seems that you have access to the Jewish identity through the Christian identity. It seems that you have genuinely became a Christian. So I don't consider you in my cost-benefit analysis on the side of Jews. Gus Paratsovsky says, I sent $10 tip for my question, but it didn't show. Okay, maybe you use support instead of the super chat. In any case, I do want to answer your question, and so I'll get back to it. It was there. Hi, JF. Please talk to me more about your theory on the first human. You know, the one in which you say they were mutated blob of fat descent of monkeys? I think you should rethink this one, bro, or else please explain to me how they could have winning at mating and struggle around non-mutated monkey ancestors. I mean, I was kind of comedic when I presented the first human as a blob of retarded fat advancing. But it must have been something like this. Like, to a certain extent, the first human was suffering from a chromosomal disorder. That is for sure. The event that separates chimpanzees from humans is ultimately the reversal in counter sense and plugging of a chromosome to what became chromosome 2 of humans, leading humans to have one less chromosome than chimpanzees, but that chromosome that they have less has been plugged, and in reverse sense, in a way that initially the information was lost. That is, if you had valid genes on this chromosome, they were not valid anymore when the first human was born. And I call him the first human. It was, in my view, probably just the most distinctive event of mutation that separated us from the chimpanzees, which is why I call it the first human. But it wasn't an Homo sapiens. It was like somewhere between Australopithecus and chimpanzee. So it was some kind of pan-human root. So that event must have happened. Now, you need to ask yourself, what is the closest approximation that we have to a chromosomal disorder? What does it look like when a life form has a chromosomal defect and yet survives? We know exactly what it looks like. It's Down syndrome. So basically, my message is the first human that separated from the chimpanzees had to be, in terms of, he was a chimpanzee at first, okay? The first babies that became like this had to have disruptions of their functioning and disruptions of their physiology of the size and extent and intensity that you see today in Down syndrome people. So does that mean that they look like Down syndrome people? Not at all. What I mean is that the difference between a regular human and a Down syndrome person, imagine the size of that difference. That must have been approximately the size of the difference between a regular chimpanzee and the chimpanzee that became human. Now, you say, how is it possible that this thing, if it was so fucked up, how is it possible that this thing won? And that's a very good question. And my guess would be that sometimes when you are in an evolutionary space, risky big jumps, they hurt. They have to hurt. But they can allow you to discover spaces of evolution that you couldn't have discovered if you hadn't taken the hit. So I have this whole conception, and it stems from a theory that is much more obvious if you think of ants and bees. But let's think of ants and bees, and I want to demonstrate to you that being retarded can be good. And then we're going to try moving it onto the human case. So the first bee that had the first colony, it had retarded babies. It had babies that just weren't good. They weren't good at making babies. And for billions of years before, it had to be the case that the most talented bee was the bee capable of making baby bees that were good at making baby bees. Eventually, one bee starts having retarded baby bees. And they are so retarded, they can't even have babies. Now, it's very easy to imagine how retarded babies can readily and easily convert into a very good cushion pillow, a shell to protect the non-retarded member of the family. So basically, retarded babies are very good as a protection layer because they look like a bee. And so anything that attacks a bee is as likely to attack the retarded bee, and in fact, more likely to attack the retarded bee because the retarded bee is easy to catch. It's an easier prey. It's more retarded. So it's very easy how you imagine first an accident happening to one bee eventually converts the life form into from a self-reproductive life form to a I create colonies, and those colonies protect me life form. So a colonial, queen-based, sterile worker life form. Now, that's very easy to imagine with bees, because bees, they have continued making babies from the queen. The retarded bees are not the winners of this system. Now, the only logical step that you have to take to then apply this to the chimpanzee-human transition is, okay, we have learned that being retarded sometimes is good. Sometimes being retarded is good for your queen. Now, it just needs to be the case that you have to allow your mind to consider the possibility that being retarded can be good for the retard. And this will allow you to understand that a chromosomally deficient chimpanzee has become the most advanced technological species that the Earth has ever known. Shamrock Shakes lays it like this. He says, ignorance is bliss sometimes. But to then make a parallel, to kind of collect everything we've been talking about, the idea is, if you hurt yourself, suddenly there are trade-offs that you don't have access to anymore. Consider the evolution in which bees were stuck in before the arrival of sterile workers. All evolution was leading to one thing: make 5-6 babies and hope that they make 5-6 babies and be the most efficient, be more efficient than the one that makes 4 or 5 and try to make 5 or 6. Now, that's an evolutionary game. The evolutionary pressure, imagine them like a funnel. They force constantly, the bees are in that never-ending game of being better at being bees. The first bee that had a retarded baby bee was in a totally different game. It was playing the game of, I'm using retard decoys for my evolution, and they protect me, and because of it, I make more non-retarded versions of myself in the future. That bee was playing a totally different game. You have to imagine that the same thing must have happened to the chimpanzees. They were like, their evolution was strictly for being better great apes of the jungle, exploiting a very specific type of jungle environment, teaming up in hunting other tribes of chimpanzees to be better than them, to kill them, to get more food from the jungle. And it was all in a single direction. And then, poof, you have this fucked up product, a chromosomally deficient chimpanzee, but that had something better. Something was good about it. But that chimpanzee, that retarded chimpanzee, was not a threat at all to the... He was out of the game of the classical chimpanzee. He was out of the game, and because of it, the classical chimpanzees couldn't care about even killing it. It was just something else to them, and it was allowed to exist, and it was allowed to pursue. Well, in that new evolutionary game, maybe it's better to have a slightly bigger brain. Maybe I'm more victimizable, but maybe there's less predators that want to victimize me. Maybe I don't live in the jungle, but I can now explore the entirety of planet Earth. And maybe the more I explore, the bigger brains I need. And suddenly, when you're playing a different evolutionary game, you can achieve higher peaks of cognitive evolution than the very chimpanzees that gave birth to you. That is how evolution works. That is how humanity came to be. I'm sure my girlfriend will disagree, but that is how humanity came to be, in my view. Actress Tatiana Maslany, who stars in the Marvel series She-Hulk, which streams on Disney Plus, blasts parental rights law. So she thinks that parents shouldn't be informed that their children identifies as trans in the school.
The provincial government, they passed the Parental Bill of Rights, so requiring teachers to get parental consent when students want to change their name or pronouns at school. What's your thought on that?
I believe that it's outside of it should not be the control of the parents whether a child, how a child identifies, how a child knows themselves to be. That isn't their parent.
And by doing so, you are saying that parents do not have informational control on the propaganda that is being taught to their children, on the moral propaganda. And you are stepping over a traditional item of parental liberty and religious liberty to teach morals to children about what is good, about how they should identify. It's the whole Marxist anti-natalist project right here by people who work for Disney. And so we knew that we had lost the corporations a long time ago, but it's always good to hear them say it out loud. We have this very American celebration where they threw cars and buses and vehicles down a cliff. Apparently, it's $20 to attend to this celebration that happens on the 4th of July. America, fuck yeah, going about to kick some terrorist ass. America, fuck yeah. Rodilacid says America, fuck yeah. Gasparovsky says thanks, Papa. Our people in the vehicle? No, they are throwing down the vehicle by having them with a piece of wood on the accelerator. So they are kind of working vehicle, and they have two rails. One of them is to throw vehicles that are not working anymore. So I guess they have to push them. Whereas the other rail is for vehicles that can self-propulse, and they use a little wooden pad. Frog Eyes says, this is what Blackpilled means when he says, throw them in the pit. Okay, yes, it's a very, very American celebration. I like the idea of carelessness around the pollution aspect. I like the idea of the absolute uselessness of it. There's something reassuring that we can still do something completely useless and relatively harmless for anyone. I mean, hopefully they don't one day, drive the pickup truck onto the crowd, hopefully. Pop Smoke's killer. So apparently we are at a time where the justice system is liberating people because, well, there's this whole no bail type of thing in leftist places. So they're liberating people until they go through their trial. And so we have, at this point, murderers on the street, and we have an interview with a murderer, apparently. Pop Smoke's killer says the day they killed Pop Smoke was a regular robbery, not a setup. So apparently the No Jumper podcast is having a discussion with someone who has killed someone else. Amazing, and I don't object. I think from an interview perspective, it's kind of interesting. But it's crazy when you think that you have actual killers making interviews on YouTube, and yet you have YouTube banning people like me. I haven't killed anyone. I haven't killed anyone, and I haven't hurt anyone. I haven't even said I wanted to hurt anyone. But they think, oh, well, he says things that eventually could hurt someone. But what about murderers? Is there a TOS against murder at YouTube?
How would you describe what was going on that night? Maybe even just, like, take us through the day if you want.
Well, I'm not finna get into detail about too much, but it was a robbery. Nobody sent us. Nobody did none of that. That's all false information. It's a lot of pages. That's like giving out false information. YouTube's like the vlog, false, like they don't know nothing. Y'all don't know nothing y'all talking about. Y'all just assuming, and y'all just putting shit together as y'all going around.
But they be putting it together with, like, saying that there was, you know, a bag with an address that was posted online. There was a photo of him and his friend where you could see the address in the background. Is a lot of that not true? It's just people putting shit together after the fact?
Oh, that part I can't speak about because I don't know how the address got. I don't know that part. So I can't even speak on that. I'm not finna say a lie to nobody.
Yeah. How would you describe what was going on?
Dino Rogovich says, translation, please. I'm sorry, but at this point, the streets have converged away from me so much. I used to be able to translate street speech. But at this point, the streets have evolved a mumble of their own. Even I, I consider myself street smart, a street smart Frenchman. Even I cannot at this point understand exactly what this is about. I don't think that this guy said anything that of which information could be extracted from. He's just saying, well, there was a robbery. So some robbery has been causing the shooting. Was it a robbery by him, a robbery by the others? I don't know. Frog Eyes says, I could understand interviewing him if there was some more engaging motive to the crime, but it's literally, yeah, we were just robbing. Literally. I'm not gonna lie, but he doesn't want to even try to explain about the address part because it incriminates himself. I don't even know what this address thing is. So maybe one day I'll have time to research through the details of this particular shooting, but it's for now it would be a loss of time for me to do so. World's largest fusion reactor is finally completed, but scientists have done some amazing things, but not all of them have practical application, at least yet. Fusion is a great example. So apparently it would turn on only with a 15-year delay. These unforeseen expenses and delays are behind the most recent 15-year delay. So we have a fusion reactor, but it could do fusion only in 15 years. Man, fusion. Fusion is a dream, but it's not happening. As a last news item before we close the show, that has come on my Twitter timeline. It's an old video, but it's always good to remember the good times.
Arrest!
Bro, that is a big amount of pepper spray. Oh, that must hurt. You can't really have more pepper spray than this. You are dipping in full pepper spray concentration at this point. Well, he was calling for his arrest, and it happened. JF, have you seen the new show Dark Matter? People have been talking to me about it, but I haven't seen it, so I'll have to check. Can you tell me something that would encourage me to watch it? Like, because people are saying, JF, watch Dark Matter, but what is it? Let's see, actually, maybe I can check the IMDb. Dark Matter. TV miniseries 2024. Jennifer Connelly. A man is abducted into an alternate version of his life. Amid the mind-bending landscape of lives he could have lived, he embarks on a harrowing journey to get back to his true family and save them from a most terrifying himself. Ah, these multiple lives, multiple universe movies. It's like they've been trying. They're not good. Multiple universe movies suck. Quantum physics movies all sucks. Multiple parallel world theory, all the movies suck. There is a one good multiple universe movie that I accept, and it's a very rare movie. You would actually have a hard time finding it, but it's on YouTube for free. You have to type Paradox, but there are too many movies are called Paradox. So you have to type Paradox, Steve Chang, Parallel Universes Film, 1080 HD. Okay. It's this one. This is the only... Let me try here. Skipping through the ad. I have some YouTube ads here. This one is the only one that I accept as a multiple timeline story. Paradox.
When she died, he stormed the gates of the underworld to find her.
The guy builds a suicide machine. So it's a machine that ties the oscillation of a quantum physics reaction to the trigger of a gun. And the idea being, if there are parallel worlds and you are attaching your life to a particular path of these parallel worlds, and if the event you use is always an event of, let's say, 50-50% chance. So if there are multiple worlds, there is a world in which the atom didn't decay at 50% chance, and then there's a world where the atom did decay at 50% chance. So the idea is, if you run this machine with a gun to your head, there is one world in which you flip the right side to stay alive like 15 times in a row or 20 times in a row or maybe a million times in a row. And many, many of your copies die. But eventually you access that one universe in which some extremely series of events happens, which is that you flipped the right side of the atom a million times. Now, this world, for being so weird, is a weird world that has different rules. And so I think that is the best parallel universe movie. But I will watch Dark Matter because so many people have suggested it to me. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once was kind of a parody of movies of that kind. And as a parody, it was kind of acceptable, but also very feminine and very annoying. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love. I'll see you all tomorrow.